And welcome to our monthly Vibrations of the Soul Ascension class. Today is September 11th of 2019. Hello everyone, my name is Terry and I thank you for taking the time and the interest in our Ascension class and the information that is presented. Our classes are offered through my website, vibrationsofthesoul.com. as a resource for personal learning, healing, and a goal to better understand spiritual awakening and the planetary ascension cycle that is currently underway. Clearly, we are in times of great change impacting our relationship we have with ourselves, with others, and our planet. The issue is many people do not have a context for what is occurring as this frequency shift is affecting everything. These can be challenging times resulting in confusion, sadness, feelings of disconnection, and loneliness. Now today is September 11th and we just want to take a moment to send our heartfelt prayers to all of those who have been impacted by the 9/11 event in 2001. We pray for the hearts, the minds, the souls, for all of those who've experienced loss at that time. Now, when we talk about ascension or spiritual awakening, we can experience this as a multidimensional shift within our consciousness into higher states of self-awareness. And this perceptual shift can include increased awareness of energy in our environment, sensing extra dimensional entities, and feeling the interconnected energy between all things. Some of us are actively participating with this cycle of change consciously, while others are just becoming aware that something is very different as their day-to-day observations and interactions with the world just no longer make sense. It is time to open our eyes, look around, and be honest about what we see as the global reflection, and then look within our own lives. Keeping people fixated on meaningless dramas, deceptive narratives, debt slavery, divide and conquer strategies, fear and survival is the name of the game. Through our classes, we offer an opportunity to learn from many others who are walking through this ascension cycle with a conscious participation as they offer to share their direct and personal experiences with us through a dialogue and exchange on various subjects. I ask you to keep an open mind, being receptive to new ideas, knowledge, and being adaptable to change. When we are open-minded, we know that others should be free to express their views and that the value of others' knowledge should be recognized. Keeping an open and flexible mind is important to keeping one's heart open. Remember, an open mind equals an open heart. So in opening our field of intention here today, we command this space is sovereign and free within the living light, the Law of One, through our Crystal Star Guardian Teams and Aurora Host, in which we are learning to take complete ownership of our personal energies through unity consciousness, compassionate witnessing, loving self and others, loving the earth and nature, responsible co-creation, and consciousness expansion. So today, I have Connie here with me, and this is part two of our discussion. You'll be able to find part one, Talking with Connie, from August of 2019, listed under podcast on my site, vibrationsofthesoul.com. Well, thank you, Connie, for being here again. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Terry. I'm super excited to be back. Just feels so good to be here again.
It really does. So just a quick recap, we'll go through. So in our first discussion, we focused on your romantic relationships, meaning your two marriages, and then your most recent relationship ended with a male who we referred to as B, and what that was like, you know, experiencing the wounded male through his narcissistic behavior and patterns.
Yeah.
We discussed archetypal programs and patterns of behavior that both males and females express from the unhealed pain and trauma. We touched lightly on victim-victimizer, hero-savior, and others. And so, you know, as we continue our discussion today here in part two, we've agreed that we're going to dive in a bit deeper into some of those archetypal programs and patterns. So for those listening, that they may have examples so that they can better see this operating within themselves and with others and start to take some more responsibility for themselves. So again, much of this conversation comes from your experiences within that last relationship that you had. And I guess we could also say that this was truly an initiation into your higher heart, higher mind, regardless of the pain that you went through.
It was definitely an initiation. This was one of the big ones. So definitely learned a lot about myself, learned a lot about these archetypes.
Yeah, watching you go through it, it's a year.
It's a year. I'm a year out.
Yeah, and watching you walk through it and go through it. It's been amazing to be walking it with you. I mean, you're doing the harder work, but I'm there just holding a space of love. And
thank you for that, Terry.
Yeah, and it's beautiful to see you moving right along. Thank you. Right. Well. Why don't we start with discussing the topic of learned helplessness? Again, also a program of, we can say, social engineering that creates patterns of behavior where one has been just saturated repeatedly in painful and negative experiences. They give up. It just feels like they've lost all control and gives up trying to do anything to change their situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, so maybe you can talk a little bit about that and how that might have played out.
Yeah. Into the relationship. Yeah. Sure. So I think, I mean, learned helplessness. I mean, we can look at this from a social standpoint when we look around and we can see, you know, people like collectively maybe groups of people who just feel so beaten down and feel so helpless to fight back or to take responsibility. Yeah. Or to get out of their certain situation. But if you break it down and you look at, for example, myself personally, you know, what were the things that I felt helpless about in this relationship? Where did that start? And of course, initially, if you'd asked me that question, I would have looked at you like you had two heads. I mean, I'm not helpless. I don't feel helpless. What? I mean,
right.
I'm in control because right. That's what we do. We control everything. I think when you hear someone use the words, I can't, a lot, if you have friends or family members or you yourself are saying, but I can't. That's a big red flag to look at.
Sure is.
That you're feeling helpless over something.
That's right.
And are you really helpless? Are you, do you just not know how to take responsibility and accountability? Sometimes we don't know how. Sometimes we think we can't. Sometimes we just simply do not want to. We
right.
want to blame and project onto the other person or people.
And that, again, is the harder work, right? Because once we start looking at ourselves and take that responsibility for ourselves, no matter what's happened to us.
No matter what's happened.
That's right. When we take that responsibility, that's where we really do regain our power, our inner wisdom, and it's where we regain our heart resonance, isn't it? The power's not given to anybody else. No one, we're reclaiming that piece and part of ourselves.
That's right. That's right.
It's easy to say, but hard to do.
It's so hard to do because, you know, when you find yourself, whether it's in a relationship with a romantic partner, if it's with, you know, a parent, if it's a situation where you're dealing with a parent, and you're just not wanting to take ownership of what your part is.
Right.
And to stand up and to find the solution or the correct, you know, maybe there's not a solution. Maybe it's just taking ownership of whatever your piece was to say, okay, I don't know what, where do we go from here? But this seems to be something that's really hard for people to do. It was hard for me to do in this relationship.
Well, isn't it like, you know, when I think about, you know, because I've seen, you know, as you were in the relationship and understanding the dynamics, so you're in it and you're having this experience.
Right.
But you're not aware that...
Yeah, it's just like your mind shuts off.
Right.
It's not because you're so caught up in the drama. You right. know, this when you're involved with someone who has this degree of narcissistic wounding and there's so much pain flying around. It's just pain, pain, pain and drama and chaos. And you can't take a moment to get still and to get centered.
Right.
To even think clearly.
Right.
Much less really sort out what you're feeling outside of the pain. You know you feel the pain. You're very uncomfortable. It hurts, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're staying in it. Why? Why? Learned well. Helplessness? Maybe. I can't leave.
Right.
I can't do anything about
this. I have
this.
To fix this.
I have to fix this, whatever the particular program is, right?
Right.
So I would say, you know, when we look back on relationships, whatever it is, and we're talking about learned helplessness and we're talking about taking responsibility, you know, a big thing for me, particularly in this healing from this relationship, is the question, who are you still angry at, or who are you holding accountable
yeah.
for something that's gone wrong in your life? Because coming out of this, I was in such a state of shock because of how it ended. I truly was in a state of shock, and I needed time to process that. But then for probably months, it was, he did this, he did this. You know, it's the whole victim-victimizer.
Right.
And at some point, you know, I had to let that go and take accountability and responsibility for all of it, really. Because I stayed. I chose to stay in it.
Right. And that's the big question. Why? How? Right? Because you get so deep and so lost
right.
in the chaos and the dysfunction and the interference and the darkness and the energies that start to come in that we lose our coherence.
You do.
We lose our...
That's a great way to say it.
Right? We can't synthesize. We're not seeing clearly because we're in this mode of stress and response and overstimulation. Like you said, you can't get clear. So you're in it and then... The next thing you know, a year has passed and you're still in it.
Yeah.
Right? And you go,
how the hell did this happen?
Yeah.
Who am I?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting, isn't it? You know, the whole time and space thing, because I bet, and when you were in it and working through that on that level, right, and experiencing it, the drama and the chaos and the craziness with this, with B.
Right.
That was a year. Connie.
It was a year and a half, Terry.
Oh, it was a year and a half?
It was a year and a half.
Holy gosh. Okay, right. So what, you know, in that time and space, what happened? What how did you disconnect? What, you know, because this is a question, because people are in relationships, whether it's narcissistic or not, and there's some part, right, that shuts off, so we can say it's this
mm-hmm.
learned helplessness, this
helplessness,
program.
Not wanting to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, you know, what he mirrored back to me, I said this last time, was he mirrored back my unhealed pain. So my unhealed pain kept me in that relationship, as crazy as that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though he was, it was painful, he was mirroring these things back to me that I did not want to see.
Right.
It hurt, and somehow I just could not get a handle on how self-destructive it was.
Yeah, you can't see it.
You can't see it.
You're up
to your eyeballs, you're in it, and you're just, you know, you try to convince yourself that you're making progress, and I knew it wasn't. I mean, I knew... I believe I knew early on that this relationship was not going to work because I actually told him that I recognized his level of unhealed pain, his abandonment.
Right.
And I saw how it manifested in his behaviors of jealousy, of insecurity, of being controlling. And, you know, I'm a Sagittarius. I've got Sagittarius in three houses. I mean, I'm very independent.
Yeah,
right. I'm very strong. And I thought... I never thought that I would, that this would happen to me,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
But
we find ourselves in unbelievable circumstances
sure.
and situations. Well, yeah. Well, you know, it's true because really to experience and taking 100% responsibility for ourselves, to experience personal autonomy and sovereignty over your complete self, your body, your mind, your spirit,
mm-hmm.
it really means that we must accept self-responsibility 100% for no matter what has happened, like we said. It's our experience, right? And so taking ownership over our life and participating directly with ourself to heal the inner pain and wounds, the resentments, we become free.
Yes.
Right? We become free now, and we stand on our own 2 feet. No longer the victim, and we become empowered. And I think this is what I have seen you do, you know, from this experience that you had. And just, again, well done, Connie. You know,
thank you, Terry.
It's pretty amazing to watch you walk through it and really be open here to share this with everybody who's going to listen. And I know we're going to talk about some other things with your direct behaviors, you know.
Oh, goody. That's what everybody right. wants, the juicy.
Right, the juicy part. Well, you know, in part one of our discussion, we talked about how healing the gender polarity between the male and female within is a significant part of our ascension cycle. So maybe you could expand your thoughts about the gender, the male-female aspects of ourselves, and then move a little deeper into the archetypal programs sure. and patterns that we started with in the first part.
So, you know, I would like for, you know, if we could recognize if we were taught when we were children that we are both male and female, you know, this could greatly change, you know, how we develop and how we grow throughout our lives.
Sure.
I'm still trying to understand this, mm-hmm. but I accept it, and I do know this within myself to be true, that we are male and female expressing in a body of one gender or the other. So even though I'm a female, I have the capacity to express and to work things out through male archetypes, if you will. So I love talking about the archetypes. I think they're fun. I think they're something that we can all,
yes.
it kind of softens things up a little bit and we can relate to it.
Right.
So when we're talking about the healing of masculine and feminine, you know, I like to talk about things like, well, you know, if we were going to use a masculine archetype, who are you in your family? Are you the benevolent king that unites your family? Or are you the false king of tyranny who divides and conquers? You know, same thing if you're a female, but let's say you hold a position of authority within your workplace. Again, what type of boss are you? You know, are you the benevolent king? Are you the false king of tyranny?
Right.
Same thing, you know, and men too. Men can also have dark mother energy.
Right.
You know, for sure. When we're looking at the female archetypes, the ones we talk the most about, you know, we talk about dark mother, which is, you know, the opposite of our divine mother, right? It's the false mother. We could also stick false parent in there, false mother.
Yeah, and you know what? I have something here, you know, when we're talking about the false archetypes and the false parents, right? So clearly what we think it should be here, you know, is a nurturer, the protector. The parent is that protector and nurturer of the child. But what's really hidden underneath the false parent and the archetype that plays out is, you know, let me play this role of parent that I can exhaust you and divert you from realizing your real path.
Right.
And that's the dark mother.
Because isn't that dark, the mother that doesn't want,
that's right.
that's jealous of the child.
That's right.
But we do see that. It's really hard. It's probably making some of your listeners very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But we see it, and it yeah. exists. You know, the fallen goddess archetype. I like this, because fallen goddess archetype, this ties into the femme fatale and the learned helplessness, because the fallen goddess is, it's kind of like the explanation of, well, I'm the wounded goddess. I fell. I've been abused. I've mm-hmm. been oppressed. I've been whatever. And so I now must use my sexual powers or my sexual energies
right.
to manipulate
right.
in some way.
And can be very subtle.
Very subtle. Oh my God! That's
right. Until
the
you,
art.
Yeah, that's the
that's
art.
A crafty
it's
crafty art.
It's hidden, isn't it?
It's always
you don't
hidden.
Even know.
Don't even know. The femme fatale. You know, this again. That's tied into that the seducer archetype.
Right.
You know, what is that? You know, that's where you're needing to feel, you feel so unworthy that you're tying in your self-worth of being valued to your sexual energies, right. You know, to be desired. And then, of course, our good old victimizer, you know, that's our favorite, and how they all tie in together. And so since I am a female in a female body, and let me just say, I love being a woman.
Yeah, me too. This time.
I'm learning to love to be a woman because I've hated being a woman. And that started very early in my childhood.
You know, I think... thank you for saying that, because I think a lot of people can feel that.
And we don't know why.
They don't understand where it's coming from, or they won't even admit it to themselves.
Mm-hmm. And it starts with the family you grew up in.
Yeah,
you know, what were the things, the subtle messages? Some, maybe they were overt, but maybe they were very subtle. You know, what did you hear? You know, I shared with you last time, as you know, I was molested as a child, and so that was something that fractured me and splintered me very early on.
Yeah.
And so that started what I call the inner misogyny, the hatred of the feminine within myself. So as a result of that, I think I consciously asked myself this question. I think unconsciously, maybe it was in my mind for all the years that I've been trying to grow and develop and heal, is how do I see myself as a woman?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to be a woman? What does it mean to be feminine? With all the distortions that we have, with all the misogyny, what does that look like? Does anybody know? What does the idea of the divine feminine look like?
Well, right. It's been absent for quite a long time.
For quite a long time.
On this planet.
Would we know it if we saw it? Yeah. You know, I'd like to think so. But how do I go about embodying that? Right. How do I evict all of these dark mother energies and these negative archetypes so that I can hold that
light and be your authentic self,
and be my authentic self,
because there's a lot of distortion around sexuality and the physical act. I mean, there's a lot of those archetypes playing out in the most intimate aspect of our lives. We don't even know who we are, and we're holding pain in our bodies and
so much pain around sex.
So much.
And money. I've worked through the money. Who cares about that, right?
But really have to work, you know, around the sexual energies. I mean, there's a lot of shame.
So much shame. And I'll tell you, there's a saying in the South that I grew up hearing.
Yeah.
And it's pretty messed up, but I grew up hearing, every man wants a lady on his arm and a whore in the bedroom.
Right.
And you hear that as a child, and how do you make sense of that? What does that mean?
Right.
How can you, because, you know, you're a child, you're young, and even when you become an adult, well, you're judging it, and it's good or bad. It's black and white.
And you have your dark mother, femme fatale seducer, watch every TV show.
Yeah, it's there. That's how you're supposed to be. This is what, you know, sexuality is as a woman. And so, wow, we get hit with it, you know, so young.
Yeah, programming. What is true intimacy, right?
Right.
Yeah.
What does that really look like? Connection through your
heart.
With
the divine masculine and the divine feminine, when two people are whole.
Yes.
Right, what is that?
What could that look like? What could that be?
Yeah, considering that most people were all firing off on these programs and the pain body and all of these thought forms that are disempowering or based on control or fear, right? And then you merge together, and it's confusing. There's a lot of distortion.
So much distortion and so much pain.
It doesn't mean it's not good or pleasurable or enjoyable, and you have moments of heightened connection within the physical act, but overall, if we're all pushing from the pain body and running these archetypes of this is how a man should be and this is how a woman should be, and we don't understand divine feminine energy and how do we hold ourselves, how do we move that energy to have a higher expression of spiritual connection with our partners, what do we have then? What is that? Because I want to ask you that. What did you have in your relationship with B? I mean, when it came to that, you know, if you feel to share that.
Sure, I will share this. It's very interesting because when he first came into my life, I had been abstinent for over 4 years. And so just the very thought about being physically intimate with someone was terrifying.
Yeah.
And I was completely honest with him, like, oh my God, I mean, I don't even know if I can do this. Does it work? That sort of thing.
Right.
But he presented himself as someone who was so loving and mm-hmm. so understanding and that it would be okay, that he loved me, that it was not this lower chakra, I just want to, you know,
yeah. right.
the physical aspect.
Right.
And Terry, starting out, actually being intimate with him was very healing for me because it can be, as
yes,
you know,
right.
when two people come together with true love in their heart,
mm-hmm.
and it was very healing. However, something changed.
It turned.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was another reason it kept me in, because I had experienced this beautiful thing with him, you know, because we're co-creating. We've got love in our hearts initially in the beginning.
Like you say, making your prayers and making your love.
And making your love. That's true. I understood what it was. This is such a complex relationship for me because I understood what it was to truly make love. And I did make love with him. I don't understand, or I didn't understand how it could go from that mm-hmm. to then going
to something else. Right.
And yes, it did. It did.
It's hard. It's very difficult.
And that, looking back now, understanding that is part of the sexual misery programming.
Sure is.
You know, the something that's supposed to be so beautiful that can pull us down and keep us in pain, because sex became a form of manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't me that was manipulating.
Right.
He was manipulating. He was using my pain to say, there's something wrong with you if you don't want to have sex on my frequency, or,
right.
you know, you're not feminine, and perhaps this has caused problems in your past relationships.
Okay, so he used it against you.
He really tapped into my pain.
It's so sad.
It's so sad. And then...
And it's very damaging.
It's so damaging because
To the soul.
To your whole heart.
Being.
Just
yeah.
your whole being. Because it's like, no, that's not why my marriage failed. No, I'll show you. I won't let that be a problem. So, and it's crazy how the dark comes in and they just know how to manipulate, and
whatever is unhealed,
it's going to come up.
It's going to come up, and or it's pushed up or it's manipulated by this negative, these energies and the matrix that we find ourselves in. But yeah, gosh, you know, Connie, I'm sorry you had to go through that. You know, sitting here listening to this, I can feel
there's still some heaviness there.
Yeah.
But, you know,
but thank you for being really open to share this, because I think that...
I'm not the only woman that's gone through this, Terry.
No.
This is more common than it should
be. That's right. And so we go right back to learned helplessness. We go right back to mm-hmm. self-responsibility. So you're experiencing this. You're being impulsed by your heart or then something else, and then it turns and the distortion comes between the intimate act, but you're still in it, right?
Yes.
And it goes right back to that same thing. So it's like, why can we not shift out of that, right? Because you're, what is that again?
Well, I think this is something that you and I said that we would talk about, and this is, you know, in discussing what our sacred sexual energies are, because I don't think we really understand what that is. No one ever said that to me.
Well, right, because if we don't know that we are divine
and
that we have an aspect of divine Mother, we must find within ourselves a divine feminine as a divine masculine to bring balance within our own self, like right. you said, first, right? If we don't even have we don't even know what that looks like, how can we even understand sacred sexual energies in exchange, because it's so distorted? What does that look like again, right?
We're clueless.
Yeah, pretty much. And yet we create children and through this act. And oh my goodness. And as you know, within that act, which is loving, kind, and beautiful on many levels, it's also filtered on our planet through this agenda with pedophilia, sexual trafficking, the misogyny, the
pornography.
I mean, we've got a long way to go, you know, in understanding just how powerful we are as beings and creators through the sexual energies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's definitely a dialogue that needs to be opened, and we need to discuss this openly and honestly as best that we can, because clearly I don't have it figured out. I'm trying to understand, but I'm willing to look at it.
Yeah, that's what's so, I love you. And that's just what's so fantastic about you, being able to have these conversations, because you know a lot of women are sitting there thinking, I hear a lot of women say that I work with, you know, like, I just don't really want to be intimate with my partner, or I can't find mm-hmm. that within me, and or it feels like an obligation, and I,
yes.
you know, and again, I think it's all part of that whole, it's all part of the same thing.
I think it's several things. I think it's multi-layered. I think sometimes, I think first of all, as women, when we don't have a emotional and or spiritual connection with our partner, we don't want to connect physically. Yeah. Most of us don't. There are some women who do.
But
that's one of the first things
that
go.
Very well said, Connie.
And
yeah.
and men aren't necessarily that way. I think sometimes men are seeking a connection and they do it through the physical because,
right.
you know, we've shut them down. They don't know how to talk with their words with the wounded male. So
right.
the wounded male, of course, is going to show up. And of course, he's going to want to have sex because he can connect to you in that way.
Right.
And express in that way. So that's the first thing we have to understand about our males.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, I think that because we are the receptive partner.
Right.
I think that when we come into physical contact with our male partners, if they are holding a frequency, a lower frequency, or they're holding, I don't want to just say pain, but whatever. You know, let's just say I'll put it out there. Let's just say we're with a partner and we know this partner has a pornography addiction, and
right.
they're watching pornography, and then they're coming, and
right.
you're going to be the receptacle for them to come, and that's literally what's happening. They're dumping that,
yeah,
they're,
absolutely.
That level of consciousness into you.
That's right.
We don't like it. We feel it. We pick up on it. It feels bad.
Right.
You know, you don't have to be an empath either to experience that, right?
Right. And there's a lot of conditioning out there to make you think, oh, this is good. This is the way you have to go. You know, you get involved in that and share that with your partner. And I just find it
to
be... Yeah,
that's a hot button for me, Terry, as you know. I have a zero tolerance for pornography.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's just a complete program, and
it's a
complete distortion.
It's a distortion.
And you watch the partner who's involved in it completely get...
Lost
in it. Again... Learned helplessness, isn't it?
Learned helplessness.
Wounded male.
Wounded male. You won't give it to
me.
I have to get it here, you know.
That's right.
So it's just a vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, and I had experienced that in my marriages where I would withdraw sexually.
Right.
And that's complex. It's definitely something
sure.
we should talk about. And women who are experiencing that need to... lovingly be able to look at their marriage, look at themselves, and inquire, why is that?
100% self-responsibility. If there's something we don't like in our lives, and this ascension cycle is going to bring everything up.
Yes, it is.
So you can't hide from what is vibrating with pain in a low density or a behavior pattern, because it's coming up. Because, like we said, you know when it's not working, and that's how you know there's a problem.
Right.
Well, going back to the discussion on those sacred sexual energies, then, and your thoughts around that, right? How do you carry your sexual energy as a female? I mean,
right. So that's something I think all of us should be asking ourselves. How do you hold your sexual energy as a female? Because it's not, it's always present with you. It's a part of you, right? Mm-hmm. You can't split it off. And so, you know, are you someone who is flirtatious, as an example? What, and if you are, and that's not judging you, you know, like you're bad, or right, you'll use the negative words that someone might would say, mm-hmm, but understanding, what is that about for you? Why do you feel the need to do that? You know,
right, how to do make you, your partner
to
jealous,
make your partner
to
jealous,
manipulation,
right? What is it? You know, how mm-hmm do you dress? How do you carry yourself? Do you dress provocatively?
Right.
And it's not saying, you know, as a divine feminine goddess, we have bodies. It's not, it's how you choose to express yourself is your choice. But
right,
what is the intent when you do it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, what is the intent? What are you trying to achieve? Because mm-hmm we can manipulate men. We can, you mm-hmm know, the saying, sex makes the world go around. Yes, it does.
It controls the world.
It controls the world, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You know, now, how do you want to hold yourself? All I can think about is, how do I carry my sexual energy now?
Yeah.
How do I want to be perceived as a woman?
Yeah.
Something to think about.
And as a divine being, and there it goes back to the divine feminine, because we're learning, aren't we? We're really, as we look at our pain, we look at our behaviors, we look at our interactions in our relationships, and the intimate ones are big mirrors, as you have said. I mean, we really get to learn more deeply about ourselves. And at this time of ascension and change on the planet, the mother principle is here. The divine masculine is here. And so we get to, I think, redefine ourselves if we're looking at it that way, right? We get to look at every aspect of us and ask those questions.
Yes. You know, another thing,
and change the way
and to change that.
Yeah.
You know, we know it's not what we see on TV with the femme fatale and the seducer archetypes. That's not it.
Oh God.
So
right, it's just crazy.
So what is it?
Right.
You know,
yeah,
how do we learn to be these divine feminine beings and to hold our sexual energy in a way that is
where we honor ourselves.
Where we honor ourselves, because
and our partner.
And our partner, because it's not to be shamed. Sex is something that can be beautiful and healing and magical, and we should be able, there shouldn't be such stigma.
Yeah.
And I think that's one reason I'm willing to talk about this, is because, dear God, if we don't start talking about it.
I agree.
How many of your of these women that you work with are terrified to have conversations with
their
children.
Partner.
Well, with their partner or with their children about sex.
Okay. Did your mother ever talk to you about about that? My mother didn't. I don't know. I just kind of figured it
was.
Out.
It was. She tried. God love her. She did try. God, thank
right
you, Barbara. She did try.
But again, what advice? It's just, you know, I remember health class. Okay, mm-hmm, very clinical. This is
yes
what it is. This is what you do. This is how babies are made.
Yes.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Wow, that's real clinical, right? It's no heart. No, there's just the dialogue around these aspects of ourself that are so powerful.
So powerful.
We don't even have a manual. We don't have a roadmap.
No manual, but God, we need one.
Oh my God, don't we? Well, that was great. I mean, Connie, thank you. Oh my goodness. Because for sharing all of that and being so open. I really enjoy talking to you, because I agree. I think these, at least we're just bringing it up,
and maybe someone else will bring it up with someone else and say,
or their partner.
See, that's what's really hard, is that you're imagine that you're in this intimate act with your partner and you can't talk about it.
You know, I never understood how you can create children, which is the most amazing
thing
on the world, but they're still not
You can't talk about it.
No, there's still not in around this. There's another level of conversation that doesn't take
place. And there's still shame.
Yes.
There's shame around the women being able to talk about what they want, what they need.
Yeah.
You know, how, you know, because this should be your pleasurable act. It's how just, to make it pleasurable.
Oh, it's all crazy to me here. I just... And you wonder why we're confused. You wonder why we're unhappy. I mean, why we are in sexual misery, why we're in trauma and pain. Because even the most intimate act, which should be loving, fulfilling, and joyful, and it is at times and in moments, but life gets in the way. The limitations of our soul get in the way. The paying the bills and the how you're going to survive. And it just destroys a lot of that, which is should be sacred and honored, you know, that physical connection. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I can't, you know, we also have the other aspect of it, which is the energetic part, like you were mentioning,
yes.
Because you have etheric sexual courting that actually takes place between partners and can manifest into attachments. This is energies, right?
Yes.
So it's important, like, how, you know, people hooking up, this is not a judgment on a one night stand. I mean, I don't have there is no judgment here, but I understand from the etheric level and how energy attachments and cordings are created, that it's important that when you're choosing to be intimate with someone, that you are extremely present and extremely aware and protective of your energy field, because that second chakra, that sacral chakra, is
very vulnerable
to discordant energies, right? And that building that up can manifest in, you know, addictions. It can become because of the trauma.
Well, you can look and see the addiction that we have on the planet with sex and with pornography.
Yeah.
And it is, and I would say it's for me, it's not about judgment at this point about how someone chooses to engage with someone else, but it is discernment, because for me, this is very real. I mean, when you...
Yeah, because what you went through, the rawness
of the
pain. Yeah.
Again, it is understanding that you are courted to that person, and pretty much, I mean... People shut down. This is like some kind of mind slide when you say this, but I'm going to say it because it is my truth. It is that when you're having sex with your partner and you're courted to them, they're also courted to the other people that they've had sex with. So it's really like you're having sex with everyone they've had sex with. And if you're coming to a place where it's not a loving connection and it's a lower frequency and there's pain and there's
obligation to feel it, like, right, and you're not in the heart.
That's not good.
Yeah.
And it feels bad.
It does. It does.
And then who wants to go back and keep creating that?
Right.
You know, who wants to keep experiencing? Because people don't, there's not a point of reference. They don't understand what they're feeling.
Right.
They just know it feels bad. I just don't like this.
There you go. And honoring what feels bad and taking that into account when you make your decision is a positive thing, because it's a red flag. It's a warning. It says, hey, my soul's not congruent, or there's something off here.
Let's look at it and figure out what it is.
Yeah, and not be afraid to look at that and to work through it. So, yeah, well said, Connie. Well, I know that. So this is like I'm really enjoying this conversation, and I really appreciate you. It's good, and just being so vulnerable and open. Thank you, Connie. I appreciate it very much. But you know, we talked a little more about the archetypes and so forth, and talking about your own behaviors now, mm-hmm. those things that nobody wants to say about what you do when you're in the pain, you're in the throes of the blindness, you're in the year and a half relationship, and your behaviors are being triggered from the pain.
Yes.
Okay. Can you share the patterns, the programs that we're playing out?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, because this is
what everyone wants to know.
Right, because, you know, every single person has acted out in response in a way that was not in alignment, right, with the highest expression from the heart. So
we all have.
Right.
And it's not pretty.
Me included. Right.
But I can identify these negative archetypes running in me. I can identify the programs, and I can work to get rid of them. And that's what I'm here to do.
And that's what we're here to tell everybody,
That's why I'm sharing.
That's it.
Because, you know, I could stay under my shame cloud and whoa, I don't ever want anyone to know this or see this about me, but it doesn't define who I am.
No.
This was a small part of me.
Right.
And this is my pain.
That's right.
So let's jump in, Terry.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
So let's talk about, you know, when I use the example of dark mother operating within me, this is a curious example. It's very interesting for me to witness. And because I became the thing that I was fighting against. Okay. So,
right.
So hold on to that. So dark mother. So, and with B, he was abandoned by his mother as a child, and she truly was someone who, you know, she has a lot of problems herself. She has a lot of pain, a lot of unhealed pain herself. And early on, I actually, you know, when I was Wise Mind, when I was Connie and Wise Mind and my higher self, I would say, oh, you should forgive this. You should try to understand what led her to make these decisions. Hold a space for her and see if you can have the relationship that's available to you. But then into the relationship, I saw how destructive it was, how both of them were destructive to
dark
each other.
Mother, false
very
parents.
False parent, the victimizer they played out. I mean, God, they could really just, wow. But understanding, you know, it wasn't my place to tell him who or how. This was me manipulating and controlling because I didn't want him to be in pain, right?
Right.
And then I saw
this.
I was the hero savior. There we go. I had that running.
Right.
And so what I realized is that I wanted him to see me, like elevate me above his mother.
Wow. Yeah.
You know that? Oh, I wasn't like her.
Right.
And I think he would do some of that. I think he would tell her how great I was and all this, and that fed my ego and was good for me, and I liked that. But I really wanted to, I began to discourage him from having any kind of relationship with her. And it did get to the point where I had to disengage. I said, I can't have a relationship with her because it was so toxic.
Right.
And I knew where it
right.
was going to go. And of course, you know, he needed to keep me engaged in that relationship to prove to him that there was a woman that was worthy, that
right.
would love him. So you
right.
see all these dynamics that come in.
Very complex.
Very complex. So wanting to be elevated and seen and put above his mother, I was becoming. I mean, that was a dark mother in me.
Wow.
You know, boy, I didn't want to see that.
It's hard to see it, right?
So hard to see.
Yeah, the manipulation or desiring something that comes from an unhealed part of yourself.
Yes.
And it's playing out, right?
Yes, it's playing
it's
out
playing
right in front
out
of you.
Right in front
I'm doing,
of you.
And you don't see it.
And you don't see it until
see it.
You don't see it because we just think it's a normal part of our behavior, right?
Yes.
Because nobody's connecting it to the pain or to the interference that's going on
that's
around
going on.
Us in the world and...
I became very cruel, Terry.
Yeah, I know.
I was very cruel to him.
Yeah.
And what I want to say about that is when you give your authority, when you consent, and you stay in a relationship where you are the victim, because truly, I was victimized.
Right, sure.
And I became the victimizer because I would stand up and fight for myself. No,
yeah.
I am not. You're not going to tell me who I am. No, I'm not this bad person you're telling me who I am. And to do that, you know, I have to swipe at him.
Yeah.
And
powerful
so it's
words.
It's very, very, you know, again, I told you my lesson in this life is understanding my words, understanding not just saying it, but truly embodying and understanding that words are powerful. And just like when we make prayers or we make love, we're creating something. When we say words, we're creating something too.
Absolutely.
And my words were daggers. And they were weapons, and I know I hurt him very much.
Right.
And in the moment, I intended to do that. And that's not very nice to look at within yourself.
That's right, right.
I remember I pulled a picture off a wall. It was a picture he drew of me from a picture when I was in, I think, seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so proud of it when he created this for me. Now imagine that no one's ever done anything right. like this for me. I was like just blown away that this had happened. But he had said something that was so hurtful and so angry, and it just hit my pain. And I pulled the picture off the wall. I broke it. I pulled the picture out and tore it up. I mean, I was like an insane person.
Well, right. That's right. A year and a half of extreme stress and pressure with a narcissistic
profile. Just came undone. Yeah. Just came undone.
Yeah.
When clearly, I could have left at any time.
And there we go back to that
learned helplessness. I could have left.
And the program that's operating. He wasn't,
no, I didn't. You know, I right. can't even say that I had, you know, the way some people might find themselves in situations and you would make the excuse of, I had financial hardship, I couldn't provide for myself, or I had these children that I couldn't.
There was nothing holding
There was nothing it. Holding right. me there except for my pain.
Yeah.
My pain held me there.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
You know, consenting to that.
It's unbelievable looking back, isn't it? You know.
You know.
But boy, Connie, the healing you've done this last year and taking a deep dive and looking at these parts of yourself.
Terry, I think if you. I hadn't have, I mean, you know how committed I am on this path to heal my pain as much as I can
right.
in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I am convinced had I not taken the path that I've taken, this would just play out again in another relationship.
Sure.
And I'm determined that I don't want that to happen.
And this is, again, you know, part of the ascension cycle. It's not all the glitz and glam. We're walking through some real hard, deep core looking in the self to clear it, to hold more source light, God
yes.
light, to get more to your authentic self. So, yeah. Anything else you want to share about some of those actions, behaviors, or programs?
Withholding love. You know, and that's an aspect of Dark Mother. Dark Mother withholds love. Divine Mother never withholds love.
Yeah.
All are welcome.
Yeah.
All have a place in her arms.
Right.
And so I'm trying to witness that and understand what that looks like, and how do we withhold love? Well, there's so many ways we can do that. We can just pull back completely where we don't engage. We can withhold love physically, and
sure.
a lot of women do that.
Right.
We can withhold love by not being compassionate and understanding.
Right. Yeah.
Because in understanding my pain, I've been able to. Or I'd like to believe I am able to compassionately witness him now, to truly forgive him and to understand.
Well, I will tell you, you've had your opportunities to, because what was just to lighten this up a little bit, because you'd be at a store, and he'd be at the same store, and it's an hour away from where you lived, and you'd run into him, and you'd have a dialogue.
We did.
Or.
We did.
You know, it happened several times like that. So,
yes.
Quite interesting, right? How that
I have
that all
really
worked out.
Tried to, to be that compassionate witness and to find healing. Because the healing, you know, it's for me. Truly forgiving someone, you heal. Again, what are you holding on to?
Forgiveness is much more.
What are you holding on to?
Yes.
I'm not blaming him anymore for anything
right.
else. I mean, if anything, I would say thank you for the lesson.
Yeah, spoken like a true starseed, because we can walk through fire and we can turn around and go, okay, yeah, okay, I just blew through all that program.
No one said that.
And pain. Now, I can do, I don't want to do
it I don't
again.
Want to do that again. No, thank you.
But I learned, and that's a starseed heart. That's a warrior heart, because we're here looking deeply within ourselves, you know, to let go of what these learned behaviors, these programs, these overlays that have been placed upon us, because we don't know we're these divine beings. We don't even understand what that means. You know, you were talking a little bit about, you know, staying in that relationship, and the emotional abuse, you know, that started to happen. You can really see how women can stay in relationships that are abusive. You know, because you're in it again with learned helplessness. Yes. You don't understand.
Yes.
You can't. You don't think you can get out of it.
You don't think you can get out. And there's something that happens with when you're with someone who has narcissistic behaviors, and that is their capacity to cut you off. Like he would cut me off and go dark for like a week,
right,
or 2 weeks. And I've never had that type of interaction because I've always been such a communicator.
And an empath, too.
And an empath, of course.
Everything.
I feel everything. So it's like, oh, let's talk. Oh, let's talk.
Yeah.
We can work this out. Let's just talk. Yeah. And to have someone that wasn't willing to speak to me or to talk to me, it was very like, I can fix this. I must fix this. You're not going to ignore me.
You know, and isn't it interesting, looking back, you can see how Dark Mother and False King of Tyranny were active with the wounded female and
yes,
the wounded male parts of
yes,
you guys. And so you look at that, and instead of being a victim from the relationship that you experienced here, you're learning even more about yourself and how to heal that those parts
yeah,
that were vibrating at a lower frequency. But how that played out, right? The lessons. If you can look, and you were very fortunate because, as we know, with narcissistic profiles with people, I mean, they can do some real damage.
They do real damage to people, Terry.
Yeah.
They do.
And I believe it's your commitment to your ascension work and everything that you're committed to that pulled you up through and right out, because clearly you're not the same person.
No. And I was committed to
this. The initiation.
It was a huge initiation.
Sure was.
And so
yeah,
the archetypes that I learned and studied, and, you know, again, I mean, the masculine archetypes of the False King of Tyranny. He came into my life presenting as the benevolent king.
Yeah.
You know, but it was divide and conquer, separate me from my family, from my friends.
Right.
You know, create self-doubt. You know, it wasn't love and unity. It was control mm-hmm, and manipulation and
Yeah. And if we just, you know, and it doesn't, these programs and patterns, you know, you get to see them when it's heightened like that. You really can look. But they're a lot more subtle in a lot of relationships, right? Because it don't have to be narcissistic abuse or weirdness like that.
Nope.
They can just play out.
Very subtle.
Very subtle.
Yeah.
But this dialogue, I think, gives our listeners an opportunity to just kind of look a little bit closer at themselves and at their interaction with their partners and other people in their
right,
lives. Looking,
and maybe it's they're willing to initiate a conversation with their partner. You know.
Yeah. Let's talk. Let's just sit down
can
and
we just talk about
I
this.
I mean, we've created life together. Can we just sit?
Yeah, that's what's mind-boggling to me.
Me too. Okay. Can we just sit, though, down? We've created life, the most precious thing in the world, but we can't sit down and really talk about our deepest intimacy. And I just...
And fears
again,
and pains.
And yeah, it just blows my mind. But then again, you know, we're in a strange... We're in a
but
planet
it's,
of
it's just set up that way.
Oh,
this is
man,
the sexual misery program.
Sure is. It's the program.
Yeah, it's the program. Let's just...
Well, you know, there's a couple other kind of, like, archetypes that play out, right? So, like, and this doesn't have to be, again, in just, you know, your relationship, like we were talking about, but, of course, the hero savior one, right?
Oh, God.
So, on the surface, you're helpless, so I will save you.
I will save you. I know better.
Uh-huh. But what's hidden is, let me steal your resources so I can be more powerful than you are.
Yeah.
So I can be in more control.
Yeah.
Ah,
yep.
Right? Think about that,
yeah,
you know. It's subtle, but it's there.
It's there.
The false friends, you know.
Oh, gosh.
I'm so proud of you.
I just
on
love
the surface,
you so much, mm-hmm, and you're just so amazing in
uh-huh,
this, but it's...
And I want to be your friend on my terms of self-entitlement, right? You know, that's the surface, but the hidden is, let me consume your light.
Yeah. We've all had friends like that
yeah,
that drain us, you
for
know.
For sure.
And I'm at my age, I've just fired all those friends.
That's right. Next.
Just fired them.
I'm so grateful because of the level of work that I do, just meeting beautiful hearts like yourself. I feel so blessed because we're really We're very beautiful, sincere people seeking truth and seeking to know who we are.
Wanting people to be happy. Wanting people to find, yeah, to shine their light. Just shine your light. Find your joy.
I want you to be happy and successful and connected and doing your thing, you know?
It's so easy to do when you're not tied into the 3D.
Sure is.
When you're not, if you're tied into that material and it's about the money and where the kids are going to school and what you're driving and all that BS that doesn't bring happiness.
Nope.
You know, just when you let all that go,
yeah,
it's
easier. Yeah. But you got to walk through it to let it, to see
you
it, gotta to let
it go. You got to walk through it.
You know, the other we talked about is the seducer, right? So on the surface, like, oh, you know, you're cute. Flatter, flatter, flatter. But what's hidden is, let me tangle you in my false flattery webbing and cord your second chakra.
Yeah.
For my insatiable vampire and lust. And lure you into sexual misery.
And suck the life out of you that way.
That's crazy.
It's so crazy.
These behaviors, you know.
But you look at, oh my God, you look at our social media and you look at what our kids are doing, God, and what the programs they're running. And it's, when is it going to end? We know better, but it's still going on.
Again, it goes right back to 100% self-responsibility,
yes,
and looking at the world as it is, not as you want it to be, seeing the behaviors, realizing it's not normal. It's not just the way it is. There's a self-imposed prison,
yes,
matrix of limitation of consciousness imposed upon us, and our behaviors are direct red flags to say, hey, this is not right.
This is not right.
I always say, living on this planet, do we really think aging, war, poverty, disease, pedophilia is normal? Is that a natural thing? We're living in the middle of space. I mean,
how's that normal?
How is that just what happens? You know, it's this whole programming effect that's in this matrix that people just don't see, and it's right down to the core of who we are. So, Connie, thank you. That was great. You know, thank you for sharing. And
Terry, you're welcome. Clearly, I don't have it figured out. All I can do is, I'm still working through this. I'm still trying to figure out this past relationship and heal from it and to move forward. And I do that every day with love in my heart, with joy in my heart.
Making your prayers.
Making my prayers, you know, and you know, my prayer, also one of my prayers is, you know, as we say many times from within our ES community, that I am cosmic sovereign law made manifest. I say I am the solar feminine made manifest.
Yeah.
Because my intention is to be.
Correct.
I, with my whole heart, I want to embody that level of feminine light.
Yes.
Can I do it? I don't know, but I'm damn sure going to try.
Moving from the lunar forces.
Yeah. From the dark.
From the dark.
To the light, to the truth of who we are.
The true mother.
And I just think as women, if we just start really thinking like about who are we as women? Who do we want to be? How do we want to hold our energy, our sexual energy, our divine feminine energy?
How do we want to communicate with our partners?
For God's sake, please talk to your partners.
Right.
Because they're hurting. I mean,
That masculine wound.
And, you know, I do feel guided to say this, that there's a reason, just to elaborate on this a little bit more, there's a reason that we withdraw sexually from our partners. And, mm-hmm, and you have to look at that and figure out what it is. But long term, it's not good for the marriage.
Right.
You know, and it builds their wound more. Because again, they don't understand how to connect with us. So if that's their primarily their way of connecting with us,
right,
they're really going to feel disconnected from us.
And isn't really, you know, when you look at intimacy, it really is communication.
It is communication.
In a loving, harmless way.
Yeah.
Where you can open up the dialogue to put everything out on the table and look at everything as it is, and there's no blame, there's no projection on another, but just in a loving, neutral way where you can sit down and openly have a dialogue about what's not working to make things better.
Mm-hmm.
They're learning to communicate your partner, You know, you're communicating and it builds a heart-based resonance. And that's truly what we can strive for in all our relationships, isn't it?
Yes, open, honest communication.
We don't have to agree
nope.
with everything and everyone. We just have to hold a space for their point of view, our point of view, and then come from the lower chakras to the heart.
To the heart.
To the heart resonance and work out some kind of understanding, you know, to move forward or not.
Or not. And that's, and sometimes it's or not.
Yeah, it is.
And a lot of people don't want to
do that, know that, feel that, or even allow that in.
Because that comes back to the learned helplessness. What Absolutely. Are you willing to bargain away for the security or the perceived security that a relationship gives you?
Yeah. Well said. Well said. Well, I have one more question
okay.
for you. And but again, before we go there, you know, I always like to give like just a couple ideas again for some tools to apply. But again, practicing mindfulness, right? Just being aware in neutral observation with yourself and with others around you, it's an important tool to allow you to apply corrections to your thoughts. Apply corrections to your feelings that have come up from the fear and the trauma and the separation. So slowing down, like when the world goes faster, we go slower. But just trying to stay in that mode of observation where we're not triggered, where we can get a more accurate assessment of what's happening around us, I think is a tool that I use all the time.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm getting better at using that tool. Because that's our power in the present moment, the now self.
That's right.
You know, so I think that is something I think that can be useful for others. So so with that being said, just one more question, some final words of wisdom for others.
Wow. Final words of wisdom. Again, I would say love yourself, be kind to yourself, be kind to your partner. You know, trying to digest any or all of this as you look inward, just be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're all learning.
You know, I can sit and talk about these things now as if I'm talking about someone else because I've dedicated the last year to trying to heal right. this and to not be in shame. And boy, we could go down the rabbit hole even deeper. I mean, sure I could talk for forever about some of these things and right. my part and what I did. But clearly I can do that because I am growing, I am healing, and I am committed to it. This is tough work. It's really hard. So be kind to yourself.
And be fearless.
And be fearless, though, because what, you know, just ask yourself, again, what type of woman do you want to be? What type of female do you want to be? What type of partner do you want to be? What type of mother do you want to be? Do you want to be a good communicator? If right. you don't, it's okay.
Sure.
But if you, I told someone the other day, someone was asking me to evaluate them on something and I was uncomfortable doing that. And mm-hmm. I said, this is what I do. When I look at myself, I try to accurately see where my competencies are and where I'm deficient. And if I'm deficient, it just means that's something I want to work on.
Right.
And for me, I want to be a really good communicator.
Well,
I want to thanks. Well, yeah. I don't always feel that way, but I want to be the kind of person that can hold space the way you've held space for me and so many others.
Oh, thank
you know,
you.
And
thank you, Connie.
You know, one yeah. thing I do, I think, is when I, you know, when I can't stay neutral
right.
and I find myself getting ready to judge someone,
right.
I just try to step back up and go, "Do I do that? I'm judging them." Why am I judging them? Is that something I've done? You know?
Right, right.
And so just that goes back to what you said about trying to be really self-aware.
Yeah.
And when we get out of being neutral and we start going one way or the other, because sometimes discerning versus judgment, that can do a little trick on us.
That's right.
But be kind and be fearless.
Go to the heart.
Go to the heart. Always the heart.
That's it.
Make your prayers. Go to your heart.
I love that. That's fantastic. Yeah, and you know, and we're wrapping up now because we're a little bit over the hour, but I always say, you know, again, we go right back to the ascension cycle, and ascension is spiritual awakening. So there's so many facets to that process, because we're not just looking at, okay, the quantum aspect of, you know, the negatives and the interference and the stuff we've got going on that level, but how we sift through the blockage, how we sift through the interferences, is by doing the inner work on ourselves. When we change what's in our heart, we change the world, because the heart has a resonance field.
Yes.
It is tied to the planet, to the mother,
yes,
to the divine, and it is through sincere self-inquiry, looking at our blind spots, that we are helping the planet and we're helping other people step into their power and say, you know, okay, I'm going to do this work. I'm going to look at myself. I'm going to make the changes. I'm going to change my lifestyle if that means I can have more peace within. You and I talk a lot about that.
Yeah.
We live very simply.
We do.
It wasn't that great advice. I mean, I think I told you that from the best.
Advice
when I met you.
And people thought I'd lost my mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy because I'm free from so many of the things of just the attachment to money, the job, the things, because the things are, they're material. They're going to come and go and they mean nothing.
And yet you still live in a beautiful place.
Yes.
You still drive a nice car.
Nice car, have a nice home.
But currently. Right, but it's
all of my needs are met.
Yes, on a very simplified, scaled down level. And it gives you the time to do the work. It gives you the time to unplug from the matrix so you're not burdened running on a treadmill 24/7.
That's right,
just
Terry.
To make the bills, to pay, to help put the roof over your head. And you've changed your lifestyle so that you can adjust it to do the work.
I could not have made the progress that I've made in the past year healing all of this pain and trauma,
right,
had I been tied up in the job,
survival,
the money, the distraction.
And yet you still have a job and you still work.
Yes,
burden,
of course.
But the burden to bear on the kind of job you have is very low.
Very low.
You go
relative
home at night.
To, yes, yeah, I sleep,
you're
I'm sleep, great.
You're happy. Right. And you know, sometimes, and part of what the ascension cycle is too, because again, it's not just the quantum, the negatives, the negative interference and all of that. It's about what can we do today to bring more joy and more peace to ourselves, to our hearts, because that heart resonant expands to the world, and that is our power. And we can get there when we pull away some of the distractions and some of the heavy burdens,
yes,
on us.
Agree.
But we have to then not care what other people think.
Right.
Because,
right.
Right. And we have to decide we're not going to follow the masses. We're going to do what's going to bring coherence. Right?
Stability
within. This is how we unplug from the matrix. This is how we get a handle on the ascension. This is how we show our children and the loved ones. You know, it's about coming back to inner balance.
It is.
And that's what we're really talking about here. And so
it's a re-education, isn't it?
It is a re-education on every level. And yet we've done this before, you know, at some other time and place.
No doubt.
Well, Connie, thank you. I think this just was a fantastic conversation. And I appreciate your honesty and your vulnerability to share from your heart, you know. Again, I think we're going to help a lot of people. And is there anything else you'd like to share before we go?
No, I thank you for having me. I hope that my experiences can be shared, and maybe someone can find something helpful or something that makes them take a step or open a conversation, whatever
yeah.
it is.
Making our conversations.
Yep.
We're creating something.
We're creating
Making
something.
Making our prayers. We're creating. Co-creating,
co-creating,
right?
All the time.
That's
mindful
beautiful.
Of that. All the time.
Absolutely.
Are.
Well, all right. I think that's about it. And I'd really like to just, again, thank you, Connie. And thank everyone for listening. And again, if you have any questions for Connie, you can reach out to me through my contact page on my website, vibrationsofthesoul.com. And so I just thank you, and I'm sending blessings and love to all.